On Point, hosted by Peter Van Aartrijk. Conversations with interesting and informative experts on technology, branding, culture, social media marketing, and other great topics.
Hello again, everybody. I'm Peter Van Aartrijk, your host for On Point, brought to you by our good friends at Wells Media, which includes Carrier Management, Insurance Journal, and other fine publications. Our guest today is Tammy Shapiro, who is Senior Vice President and General Manager of Employee Benefits Solutions at Applied Systems. Welcome, Tammy.
Hi, Peter. Thank you. It's great to be here.
Yeah, I'm interested in learning always about the person who we're talking with. So tell us a little bit first, before we get into all the cool stuff with benefits, tell us about your career and some things that happened along the way that kind of led to where you were at today.
Sure, absolutely. So the way I would describe my career, I've spent most of my career in the broader financial services space, largely focused in product roles and general management roles. And that's really spanned, when I say financial services, that's spanned from payments and certainly in most recent roles to enterprise software. Currently, I'm at Applied. Prior to Applied, I'd spent some time at American Express, at CashEdge, which was a small fintech acquired by Fiserv, and also most recently, some time at ServiceNow. And what I would say is a common thread throughout all of those roles is really I've been focused on how can we leverage technology to streamline, I would say, in the payment space, complex financial transactions. And as I think about ServiceNow and Applied, really about how do we leverage technology to streamline operational workflows. And personally, I've always gravitated towards more entrepreneurial roles. So where I see a path towards maybe building something new and leveraging technology to either solve a new market opportunity or drive efficiencies in a different way. I would say at ServiceNow, that certainly opened my eyes to how deep the automation opportunity is, especially when it comes to workflows. And when I think about Applied, where I am now, to me, this is really an opportunity to go deep in a very focused way. So at Applied, we're very focused, in my role, very focused on how do we solve for benefits in particular, and how do we build the right experiences and drive the right value from our technology to drive efficiencies in that space. And so again, a technology problem that I think if solved effectively can drive a lot of efficiencies to the market.
You know, I don't know when the whole employee benefits thing started for traditional P&C, independent insurance agents and brokers. I don't know what year or what decade it had to be. Yeah. Probably the 80s, maybe early 90s that became this thing. Because it was always so separate, like everything was sold separately. You know, on the life insurance side, for example, you had career agents who worked for like a single company. Now they're all independent. They're doing a lot of brokerage. You had P&C agents who sold personal commercial lines. And somewhere somebody figured out, hey, wait a minute, maybe it started with work comp. I don't know. But it became this thing that was like, wow, what a profit driver. And some of the more successful best practices independent agents that I know are in this space. Many of Applied customers are in this space. Can you talk a little bit about the customers that you're working with, the Applied users who are taking advantage of the benefit solutions? What are they looking for from you in that space?
Yeah. So when I think maybe a little bit firstly about my role, I'm really focused on how do we build the right experiences as it relates to benefits from a technology perspective. It's also around how do we build the right partnerships, right, to connect to the broader ecosystem. And there's a third component, which I think when I get back to kind of our customers and what they're looking for around how do we build the right customer experiences, right, to get customers on the journey and to accelerate their digital transformation journey? And so I would say, Peter, tying back to how you frame this, a lot of our customers, I mean, our customers are any agency that has a benefits book of business. That's how I would describe it broadly. But a lot of our customers are composite agencies, right? And so they're selling a breadth of plans, right, to their clients. But at the same time, many of them are also composite and they're selling and they're structured so that they have you know, a PNC business and commercial lines and personal lines, and then a benefits book of business. And that's really the target customer is either a composite agency with a meaningful benefits book of business or a benefits agency that's servicing benefits specifically. And if I talk a little bit about our role and what they're coming to us for, again, they're really looking for a single platform. And we often talk about being the hub for a benefits agency. And what that means is delivering a platform where you have producers, you have account managers, you have accounting managers, you have leaders of benefits departments, and they're looking for a single system where they can all operate and where they can all collaborate. And by doing so, it delivers different insights, right? And better insights into how is the benefits portfolio functioning, and drives more operational efficiency because you get to do things in a more consistent way. And so that's really what we're delivering, right? It's a technology platform, but then it's also the expertise, right, from an adoption and a training perspective to deliver on the change management that I believe is really critical to help our customers through that digital adoption process.
Can you outline for us what you're calling Broker 2.0?
Sure. Yeah. And so maybe I'll start with a little bit of a backdrop of what we're seeing in the industry, right, which leads us to this concept of Broker 2.0. I would start by saying for us, as we see benefits, it's a fast growing vertical. A lot of our customers tell us that they expect their benefits portfolio growth to outpace other parts of their business, right? So it's a really strategic growth driver for many of our customers. So that's one component. And then really our view is to be successful, brokers need to be, and to really capitalize right on that growth opportunity, brokers need to be able to handle some of the dynamics that are happening in the industry, right? And what I mean by that is there are important trends like the cost of healthcare continues to go up year over year. Employee expectations around what benefits they get continue to increase, right? And you need to offer, as an employer, you need to offer different benefits to really attract talent. And so from an employer's perspective, that means there's kind of a double financial burden, right? And so from a broker perspective, there's an expectation that you're equipped to provide more advice around these trends, right? And so we sometimes talk about the advisory imperative, right? Which is, as a broker, you need to be able to provide the right advice. And so going back to your question on what Broker 2.0 means to us, it's really around how can we help our customers by enabling them with technology that can help them do the manual work, right? So if you think about things like entering data into a system and setting up a plan in the system. And when you're getting paid and you have all of these statements that are coming in from carriers, doing that reconciliation process, right? A lot of those processes are very repetitive and there's a lot of opportunity to build automation into those processes. And so once you're able to do that, right, once we deliver that automation, then our brokers can be much more effective in that advisory role, right? You're spending less time on what we often call administrative work, and then you can spend more time on what we often call the hero work, right? And the advisory work to really help your clients navigate what is a fairly complex landscape. And so that's really what when we talk about Broker 2.0, it's tools and AI-powered workflows and delivering integrations to different platforms out of the box so that agents don't have to focus on doing a lot of that manual work. They can focus on extracting the right insights from our technology and delivering those insights to help their clients grow and capitalize on the growth opportunity.
Okay. So on the one hand, you have these the complexity of benefits, and you mentioned the health insurance costs rising.
Yeah.
On the other hand, you have these technology tools and artificial intelligence to kind of help ease some of the, especially the repetitive stuff right now. So where does that leave the human being in this process?
Yeah, no, I think that's That's a great question. I mean, I believe the human being, again, really needs to build on that consultative and that advisory approach, right? So if I go even a little bit deeper, right, the rising costs of health plans, right? There's, as a result of that, there's alternative health plan structures, right? There's level funded plans and self-insured plans and captive plans. There's different things you can do in terms of contribution strategy, right? How much should the employer contribute and how much is left for the employee to pay? Even when you think about the voluntary benefits, right, which play a key role in attracting talent, different companies are thinking about how do I target these to different demographics, right? You can think about fertility benefits or childcare, right, which tend to be more targeted to a certain demographic. Mental health benefits are increasingly important. And so, again, if I go back, like what that means from a human's role in this, it's really around being able to kind of understand what the different trends are, understanding what the alternatives are, being able to kind of model the financial implications of different scenarios. And that's where the advisor role becomes very critical. And then I would say a parallel element of that kind of human role is building the relationships and trust with customers, right? So once you have the insights and you're able to effectively demonstrate those insights, you start to build trust and you build deeper relationships. And I think ultimately that's what makes the human really critical, right? Or that's the human skill that comes into play. There's industry research that I came across recently that a little over a third of employers are considering changing their broker relationship in the next 1 to 2 years. And the reason that the most common reason why they're doing that is because they're looking for that advisor support, right? And they're looking for better services and more consulting services around this. So again, I think this is really, that human skill is really critical to really capitalize on the growth opportunity, but even just to retain existing customers.
Yeah, and that makes it incumbent upon these agents and brokers to have that resource internally, right? You can't, I mean, I would think based on that research that a lot of people might be, I'm not putting words in your mouth, but yeah, kind of mailing it in. I mean, you see in the same thing on the P&C side where agents who don't take the time, and AI can really help, technology has been helping, and AI really helped them free them up. And we see this in other aspects of the applied system beyond benefits, free them up to spend time with people because people need advice. It's the number one thing I've seen in our own research here that customers want from their agents. They want more time to talk about stuff they need. And the benefits space particularly, you know, these people are, they have a lot of concerns. Businesses worried about all kinds of things, loss control, OSHA compliance, 401k, compliance, all the rules and regulations, like you need, they really need help. So yeah. I'm hoping based on what you say that that's an ideal universe where, yeah, we took away some of, you know, our work is not the busy work. Our work is doing something else. And that is, we have to rethink the time we spend with these businesses.
Yeah. And just to kind of share some anecdotes that we've heard from our customers and users, right? Historically, it takes 30 to 60 minutes, right, to put plan information into a system. We've heard people say when we do our research, right, I spend 40% of my day just entering data, right, into whatever system they're using. And so when you think about the volume of time that's being spent on that, and as an example, we have a capability now where we just read plan documents, right, and we bring that plan information into the system, and the amount of time that can save a user and to what you were just sharing, right? Spend that time developing insights and sharing those insights in a meaningful way with customers. That's what's really going to drive value.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You mentioned earlier about how benefits is a driver of growth for a lot of firms, more so than other lines. Have you seen anything change in terms of how they're using benefits? Is it like are they starting with benefits with clients and then rolling out the other P&C stuff, or is it the reverse or a combination? Like, how are they using benefits as a strategy to drive the growth beyond just the tech piece?
We talk to a number of our customers that have a P&C book of business. They have a benefits book of business, but there's not a lot of crossover, right? Where a minority of those P&C relationships have actually translated to benefits relationships. And I think, I know you said aside from technology, but I think part of the story is technology, right? Where in a lot of those situations, there isn't always the right visibility, right? Of what are my relationships in other lines of business that I can potentially leverage. We actually talked to a large agency pretty recently who is operating their P&C business on one system and their benefits business on a different system. And they've actually recently hired a team, right, to identify kind of opportunities across both those systems and distribute those opportunities to different teams. So I think cross-sell is definitely something that's a much bigger focus. If I tie that back to how we're thinking and how we deliver our platform, we often talk about a single system, right? And I talked about being the hub for a benefits agency, but we have a single platform where all lines of business can collaborate, right? And I think one of the benefits of that is you are able to see in real time what is the broader client relationship, right? And that opens the door to understanding who are your contacts? What are the existing relationships? And that empowers you. You still have to derive the right insights, right, and make the right recommendations. But I think it does set you up on a path to be able to more effectively cross-sell a new line of business, right, into an existing customer base. So I absolutely think that cross-sell is a big driver. And I would say the second one is really just around the theme I mentioned of it is increasingly important to think about what is the voluntary, what are the other benefits, right, that you want to offer employees to remain competitive with your talent, right, or the talent that you're trying to attract. And so being mindful of that and being able to position, you know, different plan types that resonate and that are meaningful to your clients to help accomplish that goal, I think is another really important part of just providing holistic advice to clients.
Yeah. Pet insurance would be a very big category.
That is a big one. Yes.
It's
yes.
Huge. It's yeah. It's astonishing how that's grown. So I would imagine it would be in Applied's best interest to have, you know, their agents really take advantage of all of the, you know, all the software you guys can provide, including on the benefits side. A lot of agents are not in this space. Have you seen even smaller firms? Have you any ideas on how they might get into it? Some of them have partnerships with benefits firms, brokers in the same town. Some obviously bring it in house. What works? Because I feel like if we're going to get to the state where the independent agent and broker is a real consultative partner to businesses and families, like you got to get to this point where they're more helpful, because selling an annual P&C policy that sits on a shelf and doesn't really concern a lot of businesses after that sale, after that renewal, whereas benefits is just ongoing. It's constant communication. There's a lot of compliance and pressure on agents to do the right things throughout the year with notifications and things. But it's also more of a partnership, because you're getting to these issues, as I mentioned earlier, that are critical to running a business as opposed to just an annual P&C policy. If you understand what I'm getting at, it's like this is like a no-brainer if you can do it the right way.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree with that. And I think there's a lot of different services that an agency can provide their clients, right, to do that. So you mentioned compliance, right? So providing compliance services, or enrollment is another area, right? It doesn't happen year round, right? But enrollment time is time crunched. It's really critical, right? So can you help your clients through some of those different critical moments, right, in that life cycle? And I do think that by doing that effectively, right, and by kind of expanding the relationship by adding those different value add services, I do think it helps differentiate, right, and it helps to show more value and demonstrate more value to clients.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Last question on the benefit stuff, and then I got some fun other stuff for you.
Sure.
What kinds of metrics are the Applied users seeing in this with what you can offer in terms of showing how the benefits programs can be profitable to the firm and offer meaningful data to their customers?
Yeah, that's a really important one, and one that we're very focused on measuring, right? What is the value? Because I think a lot of our customers, when they come to us, they're coming from disparate systems, right? And they're coming from, well, potentially other systems, or they're coming from legacy tools, right? And they're tracking their business on spreadsheets. And so it's really hard to get a holistic view, right, of what's going on with my business, which then has the impact of you're not set up to effectively grow, right, and capitalize on the opportunity that we were talking about. So I would say some of the metrics that are really important that you can get, right, once you're working and centralized on a single system, I think there's a really important revenue, right, top line, right? Having a complete view of what does my book of business look like? What are my most important and strategic customer relationships based on revenue? What are other revenue sources, right? We just talked about compliance services, right? And enrollment services and things that you can monetize beyond commissions, right? Related to the plans themselves. So I think having everything in one place really gives you a much better view of what does revenue look like today and where can you take it? Another thing that we hear a lot, and this is on the accounting side, is, well, am I getting paid effectively? Or am I getting paid correctly, right? So you're doing all of this work on behalf of clients, you're renewing plans, you're servicing the plans, and ultimately you want to make sure that you're getting paid the right commissions tied to those plans. And if you don't have all of that information centralized in one place, it's hard to effectively track, am I getting paid correctly, flag things that are missing or flag things that are wrong. So recognizing the revenue, I would say, is another really important metric in that bucket. I think you can also get much better benchmarking, right? So again, I've talked about the theme of leveraging, in terms of being a better advisor, it's really important to be able to help your customers navigate the competitive landscape of talent, right? And so with better data, you can be more thoughtful about talking to customers and helping them understand, here's what other competitors in your space or other companies in your geography or other firms of your size are doing. And that shows you as really kind of a thought leader and gives you insights to deliver to customers. So I think those are a couple. I mean, maybe the last thing I would say on the metrics is more on the operational side. So I touched on briefly renewals, very time constrained process and benefits, right? Where a lot of the work is happening in Q4. Being able to track all of that activity, are my teams getting their work done? Are there any risks in the renewal process? More holistically throughout the year, how is my team spending their time? What are the common activities? That starts to give you visibility into where can I bring more automation, right? So it's kind of that top line revenue, make sure you're getting paid correctly. And then there's just a lot of the operational metrics, whereas if you're sitting across different systems, it's just really hard to get a full grasp of what's going on, certainly in real time.
Mm-hmm. So with all the chatter about AI and how technology is transforming insurance, it's kind of hard to keep up with all of it, but what do you think people misunderstand about this, Tammy? Anything?
I mean, I would say one thing is technology and AI is a critical part of the story, but it's not the only part of the story, right? And I think, you know, we talk about AI when we talk about how AI can drive digital transformation and other types of automation, right? That's very real, but it can't be successful without the right organizational transformation, right? And I think that's a really important component, is that, yes, you need to invest in new technologies, but you also need to think about how do you rally the organization around that, right? And I mentioned earlier, that's a big part of what we're thinking about, right? It's not just I mean, a really critical thing is delivering the right technology and delivering the right technology out of the box as it relates to benefits. But it's also helping customers in that journey, right? How to train people who have been doing things a certain way for maybe decades, right? Of how to do things a little bit differently. And maybe another thing I would add is I also think it's really important to think about how AI and technology generally can help you almost reimagine how work gets done. And what I mean by that is I've seen a tendency, right, in different areas, right, that you adopt a technology platform and say there's a process that takes 10 steps and you essentially create those 10 steps, but now they're all on a technology platform instead of maybe spreadsheets and emails. And that does drive some efficiency, but I think it's also really important to reimagine that workflow, right? So if I take something like renewals, right, you're emailing clients for documents, you're getting those documents, you're extracting information. With AI, you could probably reduce that to a single step that AI handles, right? Of sending out communications, extracting data, and standardizing how that data gets presented, right? And you can do work simultaneously, and it doesn't have to be 10 sequential steps. And so I really think there's another important component of as you're going on this path, again, one is making sure you're taking the organization with you, but the other is being thoughtful about how do you really reimagine how work gets done so that you can drive that much more efficiency, right? And take that much more overhead out of the process. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know. It's something that I've observed over the years that the agency staff they're really efficient at being inefficient. And the pile of work they have, and they, like you said, for decades, they've been doing it the same way because that's how it works. You got to work with carriers, yeah. You have to work with customers, but man, if they could just rethink it, it's not a lot of people are fearful processors about taking away the pile of stuff. So yeah, it's a really good point. Like, how do you reimagine the whole thing?
To the point that you just made that there are people who have been doing things for decades, right? And the way I often think about it is they're really effective as an individual at doing things the way they've always done them, but that doesn't scale, right? So when you're bringing in new talent and you're trying to scale the business and you're trying to capitalize on this growth opportunity, there's a lot of good learnings that sit with decades of expertise, but you really need to think about how do you kind of take that and leverage technology to make it repeatable, right? And I think that's really, a critical part of the transformation journey.
All right, so let me get into some other fun questions for you. Is there anything that you would say to your younger self when you first got into the business world? How would you coach your younger self now?
We're all still a work in progress, but one of the things I would say is, I think you hear a lot early in your career that if you work hard and if you do a good job and you keep your head down and you stay focused and you do all those things, then good things will come. And I really do believe that if you follow that advice, you can be very successful. But I also think that there's a component that if you really want to excel, you need to think about some things a little bit differently, right? And I think some kind of advice maybe that I would give my younger self, right? And kind of I've built over the years is one, in addition to doing the hard work and getting the right outcomes, it's really important to kind of think about those around you, right? And how do I build networks? How do I find and leverage mentors to really help you accelerate and excel, right? And in your career path. I think it's really important to think about how do you advocate, right, for yourself, for your team, celebrate the wins, right, as you're moving through different stages. And I think something that ties back to a lot of what we've been talking about here is I think it's also really important to look for opportunities to differentiate yourself. And I've been thinking a bit about this, right? And when I think about AI and I've kind of incorporated AI into different things that I do throughout the day, right? I think AI in some ways resets the playing field, right? Where I think there's a window now as someone who's kind of growing their career and thinking about, you know, where they want to be in the future. And this wasn't advice I could have given myself early because it didn't really exist. But I do think there's an opportunity that, like, the theme of now's an interesting opportunity to look at AI and think about how can I embrace it and how can I have my teams embrace it in a way that I think today you can still differentiate, right, and really excel and leverage that as something that almost leapfrogs, helps you leapfrog from where you are today.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Good concept. Well, everybody dishes out advice. Have you heard any crappy business advice over the years? Leadership advice?
Any leadership? So in terms of, I guess, leadership advice, I mean, I would say for someone, you know, coming into a lead, you know, from a leadership role perspective, I think it's really important to go into any role with a curiosity, right? And an open mind and a willingness to learn. And we talked a little bit about kind of how people have been doing things a certain way in or many people have been in the insurance industry for some time. There is this element of a retiring workforce in many situations. And I think if you're going into a leadership role, and if I think about insurance, it's really important to be curious and to learn from all of the deep expertise that exists within an organization. But I think if I go back to something I mentioned a little bit ago, I think it's really important to embrace technology, right? And think about, now that I've learned, how do I make that expertise more repeatable, right? And I think that's the power of what we've been talking about, is technology can really kind of, you still need the expertise, but it can help you scale in a different way. So I think those are two things. It's be open, think about how technology can really help, you know, take the organization to a different level. And maybe the last thing I would say is going back to that theme on change management, right? Don't overlook how critical that is. I think in the agency space, we've certainly seen over the past several years, a lot of M&A activity, right? And you see that there a lot, right? Where there's the need to bring people together, bring systems together. And that's what ultimately enables you to capitalize on the opportunity, right, of that M&A activity.
Yeah, right. That's the culture piece that often gets overlooked in the financials. It's how are we gonna work together better. It's the hard stuff that just isn't always evident. In fact, a lot of deals, not just in insurance, not just agents and brokers, but deals period in the business world, often fail because of that, the culture clashes and the unwillingness to change, to your point. So that's a really good point.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, Tammy, thanks for taking some time. I look forward to seeing you at ApplyNet later this year. Wish you all the best with the benefits. It's a fascinating space to be in. I love this stuff.
Thank you, Peter. It was great to be here with you today.
Thanks.
This has been On Point with Peter Van Aartrijk, a podcast presentation of Wells Media Group.